and running in their computer system until the first quarter of 2014, not next year. The other issue that we came up with in looking at this is that the putting the tollway utilities into the CMS master contract was, to our knowledge, not discussed with the board back in 2006. It was done evidently by the chief of procurement at that time because they believed that CMS had the right to put all of the utilities into this master contract that was signed. That may be the case. However, it's our belief that the bylaws of the board would require at least a discussion. So to fill in the board with regard to the bills that are going to be coming in from this company that were a substantial amount, certainly something that should be considered due to your fiduciary responsibilities. There's no information that that was ever done. The chief counsel at that time did not recall ever discussing it, either officially by agenda or in any executive session. This contract, by the way, was renewed in 2011, and again, I don't believe it was brought before this board. It's our recommendation, one of several recommendations, that this should be discussed with the board. Not that there can be an immediate change, just for highlighting the information about the contract. We also recommended that, if possible, the tollway might want to explore the possibility of obtaining gas and electric separately from the CMS master contract to determine if better rates can be obtained. And we believe they can. From a comparison of what is available, it is potentially possible for the tollway to do a better job of negotiating the rates with the utility companies than what the state contract is. The internal procedures for the tollway for handling these issues with utilities, we believe, should be under the supervision of someone who has authority over all of the departments to make certain that the amounts paid are the same, that there's an agreement on all the information that should be entered into that database. And as you are aware, there are notices of aggregation of electric rates that are going on in many municipalities. In many instances, there is an opt-out period. We would have and have missed those opt-out periods because there's no one who's looking at the off-area sites. We have electric in so many different areas. And we found in the review, and operations also found the people who were doing the database, that in many instances, the tollway was actually paying for electric that was not on the tollway property. It was in an adjacent property, but it was connected when it was first put online. We had another investigation as a result of the audit done by the Auditor General and the company that they hired to review the tollway performance. They had issues with regard to procurement. They had issues in addition to that, but our office only looked at the procurement issues to determine if there was any evidence of anyone attempting to intentionally subvert the process. I can tell you we did not find that to be the case. They had several, I would refer to them as relatively minor issues with regard to lack of evaluation comments and scoring. Members doing evaluations and not certifying scores, things that can be corrected very quickly and are being addressed. However, we did have a couple of recommendations that we submitted. One dealt with vendors. They had an issue with vendors not certifying for their hours, and it would seem to us that they could be required to certify their payroll or consider some type of computerization of the timekeeping. We believe that any participants in the procurement process should sign a separate conflict of interest and confidentiality statement, and there should be fully written and documented instructions given to all of those involved in the procurement process, so that later they can't say, I didn't realize I couldn't do that, or I should have done something different. There are other pieces of information in there that you may question, and I'll be glad to answer them. Just to give you, and there's a page with regard to a breakdown of our cases. Just briefly, we handled 203 different instances of investigation during the six-month period, and we are fully engaged with the three investigators that I have. We're working as hard as we can. Anyone have any questions? Yes, sir.
I think at the beginning there were three instances or three cases that you referenced in which there was a guilty plea or finding. Any of the individuals that were the subjects of those, they remain in our employment?
No, sir.
Okay.
No.
Also, I think that it would cover the manager, which I know when you mentioned in your briefing the manager who had assaulted another employee, and that person was terminated. And I think your question covers, I think that you're covered in that answer. But yes, that person was terminated. I know Jim didn't mention it.
Right. Other
questions?
Any other questions? Thank you.
Well, we appreciate the recommendations, and as you know, those end up coming back to management, and those that they feel appropriate will end up coming to the committees and then to the board. So
okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Next, I would ask Rahu to present a few slides on our plans to create a local advisory committee for the Elgin O'Hare Western Business Project. This committee will play an important role in the project from now until its completion in 2015. It's part of our requirement, according to the Toll Highway Act, that we actually create this committee comprised of local representatives from all of the communities that are impacted along new tollway corridor. So each of the 19 communities and townships along the Elgin O'Hare project corridor will be asked to designate at least one member, sometimes more, depending on how much they're impacted by the project for the committee, and we really look forward to the first meeting this fall. Rocco?
All right. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Slightly lighter side. So I'm just going to give you a brief update on what we are going to be coming to you with in the month of October regarding the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Local Advisory Committee. As the director pointed out, this is a requirement of the Toll Highway Act, 605 ILCS 10-14B, to be precise. This is really pertains to all new roadways that the tollway is constructing. It doesn't really pertain to the existing road. So it's anytime we build a new road, we have to establish by the Act of Local Advisory Committee. Also, as the director said, we're going to be looking for communities to identify representatives. Something unique about the Advisory Committee, what the Act says, is that no less than 50% of the representatives shall be of organized citizens groups directly affected by the proposed corridor. Really what we're looking for is to get representation of chambers of commerce, other organized groups, homeowners associations, leagues, clubs, groups, chapters. On the I-35 Local Advisory Committee, for example, we've had a lot of different representation of elected and non-elected officials. Some of the organizational groups, very interesting, was we had some business park owners, chambers of commerce associations. We had a Boy Scout troop leader, PTA members, some people who were just part of equestrian and bicycle clubs. So I was really looking for a diverse representation. The Local Advisory Committee is not intended to supplant any ongoing outreach or coordination with municipalities or the mayors. It's really intended to complement all of our other ongoing outreach and really to provide, to allow us to get to a broader audience that we typically may not get to. Representation on this local advisory committee is really going to be based on frontage area along the roadway, along the corridor itself, which I'll show you a map in a moment. Looking at also displacements within each one of these communities and townships, and any access modifications. There are some locations along the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project that will really see no change in access or major impact, and others will see tremendous changes. So, as the director said, the kickoff meeting will be this fall. This is kind of what the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Corridor limits are, how we're identifying what the representation is. There's 19 different municipalities and townships along the corridor, and the distribution of representation, you'll either have two representatives or one representative based on those factors, the frontage, displacements, and the change in access. So this kind of gives you a high-level overview of, you know, how the distribution will look. The thing that's going to be coming to you in October for official adoption will be the Local Advisory Committee guidelines. The Local Advisory Committee guidelines are really going to define the membership and the provisions for potential member changes throughout the duration of the Local Advisory Committee. The duration goes all the way to the end of the construction. As you well know, it's a 15-year project. So the duration, there will likely be some changes in membership along, so we want to bring this to you for official adoption. Some other things that will be included in the guidelines is the committee procedures, including what our responsibilities and the responsibilities are of all the members. The committee on the operations, it is a formal committee, so all of the meetings will follow the Open Meetings Act. It will also follow the Roberts Rules, the committee actions. And there's different voting requirements for committee advisories and recommendations and any kind of request for information. There's kind of a formal process. So all this will be coming to you in a form of guidelines that will have to be officially adopted by board action. And that what we are targeting is in October. Some of the topics that will be addressed by the Local Advisory Committee, and this really is, the topics are kind of chosen by the committee themselves. 355 kind of branched off into different areas, and they had their own subcommittees that worked through this. But some of the main topics will be maintenance of traffic and operations during construction, getting some feedback and of how we may want to address how we develop our construction plans with respect to access to the businesses and residents along the corridor, looking at some aesthetic and design standards, such as the noise wall, what the noise wall should look like. We want a comprehensive, cohesive look and feel throughout the corridor, looking at landscaping, bridge and retaining wall, aesthetics as well. Looking at also community partnerships and talking about some jurisdiction maintenance, looking at frontage roads and bike and pedestrian access, lighting along the corridor, sustainability planning. So it's really intended, like I said, this serves as a complement to our ongoing outreach, allows us to get some feedback from a group that we typically don't touch. But the committee will also serve as a conduit between the tollway and the community to share information, to hear what the concerns are from the local communities throughout the duration of construction. Really allows us to also disseminate information and to a broader way and have these organizations talk to their membership. So again, getting information out and educating people both ways, educating us of what the issues are during construction, also educating the people along the corridor of what we are planning to do. So that's just kind of a brief overview. Like I said, it will be coming to you in October with the guidelines themselves for official adoption. So if you have any questions, I'm glad to take them.
Questions? I have a question. Back on slide 4, the guidelines you mentioned the 355 advisory group. Is that, are they sort of standard? It seemed to me that the guidelines, for example, that suggest how the membership will be defined are as important as who the members are. So are you doing a consultative thing about the guidelines with the communities, or are these just a sort of a boilerplate that we've always used?
It's a combination of both. There is boilerplate in it because we've done it before, so we adopt that. But we are sending it with the letter that goes out to the communities to request a representation. The draft of the guidelines will be sent also to get some general feedback on it. The guidelines really just talk about some of the background of why the committee is going to be established, what their roles will be in a very general way, things that will be brought up, and how the membership is established and the duration. So as the committee really forms, the topics that are brought to the committee and how the committee itself operates is a function of that committee is going to decide. They'll select a chair, a vice chair of the committee, so it is a formal committee. So there are some standardization in there, but there is, again, we're providing the draft to get some feedback on that as well.
And the only other comment I would make is that the governor took some pain to make sure that the appointments that he made to this board reflect geographic diversity. I think there's some members of the board who know these communities better than others, and I hope prior to bringing these guidelines back, you'll have an opportunity to talk to the members of the board whose geography includes some of these areas and just make sure that they're individually comfortable with how this is.
Distribution of it, sure.
Yeah. Any other comments?
We also have to stay consistent with what we did on 355.
Right.
So it's just,
right.
You know, that was really the driver of kind of the distribution of membership. But, you know, as far as the parameters of what the group will be doing, yes, we'll certainly get feedback.
Maybe I could just clarify. The membership is, the letters are going out to all the mayors and township supervisors, municipal and townships, for them to select the representation. Either elected official or organized citizen. We are giving some direction on these letters to say we would like you to select one elected official, one organized citizens group member, or either or. We need to make sure that we do get a 50% representation from organized citizens groups and not just elected officials. So it's we're looking for
it. And that is something that's really not subject to a lot of variability.
But that's in the guidelines, right?
That's to bring in somebody else, and it's that their ability to officially appoint somebody for our approval.
And the communities are demographically diverse, so that there will be diversity reflected in the composition of the group?
The composition of the local advisory committee is based on roadway frontage. So you've got the 19 communities and townships collectively. There are you've got a lot of diversity throughout. So, but it really is on them to kind of look for the membership.
Okay. Any other questions?
20 miles of the corridor, so there's diversity within that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Thanks, Christine.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, as you heard from the customer service update, we did discuss several elements and items related to the call center. We talked a little bit about the ongoing transition planning that we have for the call center contract. We did, in the customer service committee, it was recommended that we move forward with a contract for the Chicago Lighthouse to provide staffing services for the new call center, the new location. Shauna is just going to give the full board a little update on the transition plan. As you know, this at your direction or at the board's direction, we really dismantled this one large contract for IPAS services, some of which were performed in Texas, although this particular service has been performed in Lyle, and spread the work around to four not-for-profit companies located here in Illinois. So, Shauna, if you'd like to just give us a quick overview.
Sure. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm very pleased to be up here today because it has been a journey that has brought us to this moment where we can announce that we have been able to break up our very large customer service contract into four state use pieces that our board had asked us to do. I just want to walk everybody through to remind them kind of where we've been and where we've come, and then say a few words about kind of the work ahead and the transition ahead. Our original customer service contract did contain four distinct pieces. There were four types of work being done under it: image review, transponder fulfillment, print and mail, and the call center. Image review is looking at the images of violators, the license plates of people who don't pay tolls. Transponder fulfillment is getting transponders out in the mail to people who need new transponders or replacement transponders. Print and mail is making sure that all of our correspondence and our notices are printed and mailed on a daily basis. There is such a volume that it's not as if we can run them off printers and stuff envelopes here. It's a big professional operation. And then the call center, which everybody is very familiar with, the 1-800 number. So over the last couple of years, the first three functions of that contract have been broken off and placed with state use organizations. The first one has gone to Bridgeway Training Services, image review. Transponder fulfillment is with Ada McKinley, and print and mail is with Printers Mark. These are all state use organizations. What was left was the call center. Now, this call center contract has been with Transcor for the last 5+ years. Transcor has been a wonderful partner for us, and they have worked very hard to help us transition effectively to all of these state use vendors over the last few years. And they continued running the call center this year as we try to work through this last transition piece. So what we had talked about last time I think I was up here was the UIC contract. The University of Illinois space at Chicago, the University of Illinois Chicago campus space that we're going to use for the new call center. So we had talked about how we were establishing an intergovernmental agreement with UIC for new call space and that construction was going to commence soon. Construction is underway as we speak, so that is exciting. And the next piece of that is, well, who's going to operate the new call center if we have the new space finally arranged with on state property? The answer is we are recommending a partnership with Chicago Lighthouse. We talked about it with the customer service group last week, the customer service committee, and we're here today to just give everybody a little bit of an update of where that stands. And then we're also recommending an extension of the existing space in the existing call center to accommodate the construction schedule and the transition time frame that's needed. And I'll walk through kind of what that timeline looks like here in a second. Highlights of the new call center operator. So just a call center overview, in case this is helpful context for anybody. The existing call center is located in Lyle, Illinois. It is operated by Transcor, as I noted. New call center space construction is underway. And just to get a sense of how big the operation is, the call center processes 8,000 to 10,000 customer contacts every single day through all different contact channels, all different types of communication channels. And they process more than 27,000 payments received monthly. So it's a big operation, and it's a big deal to transition it. And we want to do everything we can to transition it well. The call center operator contract overview with Lighthouse, we're recommending the award of a 5-year contract, Chicago Lighthouse. It is one of the nation's most comprehensive social service organizations. It has a very long history in the area, and it does have a world-class job placement job development program that it's been operating for a number of years. The contract would provide more than 200 jobs for underserved communities, and we do recognize the transition to this will require a lot of detailed planning. We also recognize the transition it comes on two sides. Transition to a new vendor means we need to do everything we can to train the new vendor and to prepare them to be successful, but we also need to do everything we can to work with our partners who've been with us these last years making the call center run to make the transition something that they can do as well and that accommodates everybody as best as possible involved. Here's just the general transition timeline. The call center construction is anticipated to be completed by the end of June 2013, and we expect to be operating the call center from the existing location with a mix of existing and the existing vendor and the future vendor. And again, the details will need to be worked out, but between January and June of next year. And like I said, this has been a long journey, and we're very excited because we think that this is going to be a really great thing for the tollway, a really great thing for the state. And we're just very grateful for everybody who's played a role in making it happen. I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Questions or comments?
I simply comment that I think it's, you know, it's been a work in progress for a while, but I think it's been well worth all the effort. The result, I think, is a great thing. It brings back employment opportunities back to our state, but also deals with a special population that will really benefit from what we're doing. And I think going a little bit above and beyond simply business decisions that really help our population make it an even better situation. I appreciate what you've done.
Thank you. This has been
Thank you.
3 years in the making, I think, from the time we first talked about it. So, been very diligent. Thank you. Christy, do you have anything else?
I think that's it for my items.
Okay. Anything else from the directors? If not, we'll turn to the consent agenda. So we'll start out with finance, and I believe we can take all five of these together. We've had the discussions in the committee, but we're certainly open to any questions or comments on any of these motions, these elements. May I hear a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any wish to abstain? We'll take up business systems, and we'll take, I think we can take all three of these together. Right? Okay?
So move.
Second?
Second.
I'm sorry, any questions or comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We'll take procurement. These, I think, we can take together, both these. May I hear a motion?
So move.
Second.
Any questions or comments on these? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? On engineering, we're going to take item three off the agenda and take it up in executive session for Director Peterson's comments earlier.